But I liked it. It was great. Thank you.
2710. Thank you.
The whole month is about intuition. It's about living on the intuitive side, which means trusting that inner voice. It means listening to that voice for God within us and then taking action. And today's topic is trusting optimism. Trusting optimism, meaning to trust that there is a power for good in the world, in life. There's a power for good in the universe, and not only can you use it, you're using it. And it is not only as you, it is for you. It loves you. You are it as love. And so trusting optimism means, you know, it means that even in the darkest hour, as my favorite Salinas reprise goes, surely the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. Surely the darkest night will end and the sun will rise. Trusting optimism means that even in the muck and mire of things, something sings. And it's just still happens to remember that always there is that tendency within us that's nudging us to see good. Now here's the beauty of it. That in the quantum world, in the quantum reality, we know that things respond to the experimenter's ideas. What they think is going to happen is what happens. What the observer thinks is going to happen happens. So why should we trust optimism? Because what you're observing is going to happen. If you expect it to happen, it will happen. If you expect greater and greater good in your life, that's what you're calling for. If, on the other hand, you get into that rut or into that dark place and you think that's the end, it will not be the end. It can't be the end. But it may take a long time for your consciousness to shift and change, for you to move out of that place. The greatest news of all is that we, our conscious minds, direct what's going on in our life. Everything that we can see is a result of what it is we truly, deeply believe. So that's the good news and the good news. Because if all of the great things, the whole fact that you were here this morning to hear that wonderful performance came from you. You caused it. You were part of the creation of it, even if you weren't up here on the platform, because you accepted it into your consciousness as being possible. And the places where you're hurting, that also came by right of consciousness. When we know that God, life, love is for us, we can change our mind about what it is that we expect. And when we expect more good, we draw more good to us. There's a, Helen Keller said this, optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. So, we know that it's smart to be optimistic. In the old days, someone might have called you a Pollyanna for being optimistic. And that's the best compliment they could give you. They didn't mean it as a compliment, probably. They meant you're being unrealistic. You're saying things are good when they're not good. The only way you bring the good into your life is by saying the things that you want, drawing them to you by right of your consciousness. Who you are is this mighty, moving, living, breathing, spiritual being who is creating and recreating and recreating her experience or his experience. It's so good to know who you are. It's so good to know positive expectations, not an expectation that's a demand, but a willingness for good to come out of anything. A willingness, a gentleness, a welcoming songs we love here is What a Wonderful World. And I was reading about it. It was written by Bob Thiel and David Weiss. They wrote it in 1968. In 1968, those of us who lived in 1968 know there was a lot of unrest in 1968. There was a lot of racial unrest. There was a lot of political unrest. There were two major assassinations. It didn't look like a wonderful world, and that's why they wrote the song. That's why they wrote the song, because they wanted to draw forth the awareness that I see skies of blue, trees of green. So to look at the good that you can see and focus on it, draw more of that good to you. There is a Jewish teaching story, and I'm so sorry, which so the Jewish scholars can tell me afterwards where it really came from. But it's one of my favorites, and I couldn't find it, so I'm going to tell it by heart rather than give you the exact ideas from it. It was required of this certain group to go on pilgrimage every year to visit their master. It was a long pilgrimage. It was many days. And so these two men, brothers, every year would go on pilgrimage. And they stopped at the same inn every year. You know, it was a habit. It was sort of, okay, we're going to go to Silmar. We're always going to stop at this place because we like it here. So they stopped and they noticed that this inn was, the innkeeper wasn't doing very well. And they asked him, he said, you know what, I know you're going to see your master. I have two things weighing on my heart. First of all, people aren't using their inn, so there's not prosperity. And secondly, my wife has prayed for years for a child, and we're childless. We have no family. So the two men said yes, they would ask the master to pray. And they went, and it was a couple more days to the master. They had this wonderful spiritual experience, including asking for the request. And one of the men also said, you know, my wife, too, would like to have a child. And they went back, stopped at the same inn, and already there was more activity. But there was a funny thing, too. The woman, who was childless, had a baby carriage. And she was walking it around town. It was empty. There was no baby in it. They had just gone to the master for the prayer, but she was walking around singing lullabies to this empty carriage. The townspeople were making fun of her. What was she thinking? There was no baby in that carriage. So, the next year, they met. Sure enough, the innkeeper was doing very well. His wife had had a child. The baby carriage was filled with this happy little baby. They went on to the master. And the one man, so they had their sacred time, and the one man said, Master, I too ask for the blessing of the family. Why did you fulfill his prayer, his wish, and not mine? And the master said, your wife didn't get a baby carriage. She didn't expect the baby. She didn't expect the family. She didn't expect the good. The other wife was willing to look like a fool and claim her good. And that's what's called for all of us at times. For us to stand in the midst of whatever happens to be going on, and regardless of what other people's opinions might be, to claim our good, to see the good thing. There is good for me, and I ought to have it. Our wonderful Emma Curtis Hopkins used to say, there's good for me, and I ought to have it. Yes, you ought to, and I ought to have good, too. We all ought to have good, because we're living in an abundant universe that loves us, just the way we are, and just the way we are. So is there a way that you could develop greater optimism? Well, you have your own version of the baby carriage. What is it in your life that you're wanting to create? Maybe not more children, but or maybe more children. But whatever it is, how can you act as if? How can you plant the idea in the universal mind that we're getting ready for this great thing? We're getting ready for this great thing. Another idea, and it's tied with what a wonderful world. When, because music is so powerful to change our mind. Just make a playlist of feel-good songs. Of songs that are designed, that you design, to get you out of the doldrums and into action in your life. One of the things I was reading last night about this, a writer for Guidepost Magazine, said she started to do that, but she went for a walk, the catchy song in her head wasn't a feel-good song, but it was up-tempo. So she put it on her playlist because it got her moving and walking. And even though the lyrics didn't get her quite there, it was a good start. You know, her body, mind, being, there's a connection. There's a connection between our bodies, our thoughts, our spirit. We're a oneness, a unity. And if we're feeling bad, discouraged, angry, or distressed, and that's where our attention is going, we're going to attract more of that. We're going to see more things to be discouraged about. We're going to see more things that upset us. But if, on the other hand, we can play that playlist, get dancing with Gino, play some of her songs, get singing, get moving, get your mind elevated to where it ought to be, to that natural place of optimism. Can you trust optimism? Of course you can. If the nature of God is love, and the absolute evidence of God is joy, then when you are optimistic, when you're trusting your inner optimism, you're letting God express through you. You're saying yes to that universal mind. You're saying, yes, yes I will, yes I can. There's nothing that can defeat you. And that's a